Great experiences build great leaders. Great leaders build great teams. This is Building Great Sales Teams.
All right, guys, welcome back to Building Great Sales Teams. You guys know I like to mix it up every now and then with some diversified guests, and it's not who you would expect, but I think we're going to learn a ton from him. In my research, I found a lot of things that we can derive from everything that he's done so far. His name is Kelly Thornton, and he's the CEO and founder of Tiege Hanley. He put himself through college by painting houses and now owns Tiege Hanley, which is a men's skincare line that services over, get ready for this, 350,000 customers. I don't think we have anybody listening or probably have had a guest on the podcast yet that service 350,000 customers. So Kelly, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. And love sales. I spent most of my time in my career in sales, so there's a lot to talk about there. But obviously very passionate about building companies and helping men look and feel amazing with their skincare routines. It's important for us guys to be taking care of ourselves. So we're just talking about that over here on Tiege Hanley.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll definitely get into the skincare part, but sure. I do want to ask, most of our listeners are small businesses.
Yes.
I feel like one of the biggest things they can learn from you is how to create a great customer experience. Because obviously with 350,000 customers, you're doing something right. Right.
Yeah.
So what are some key ways you do that?
Yeah, you know, and we gave you some bad information. We're up close to about 500,000 customers now. And that's on us for we've just in September we shipped over our 2 millionth order. So we have a lot of customers, but you know, being a very customer centric business is critical, no matter if you're a painting houses or you're in skincare or you're a consultant. Being very customer focused is critical. And you know, we're primarily a subscription company. We talk about modern day subscription here at Tiege Hanley, which is like, means that we'll basically do anything. If you don't like something, we'll cancel your orders. We'll give you your money back, let you ship the product, you know, take the product for free. We really don't care. We're a pain in the ass free company. We deal with about 1,000 customer tickets a day. So we have a customer experience team. There's four people on that team, and they're answering phone calls and doing emails every day. And we're doing about 1,000 a day. We actually have something you're probably familiar with in your audience is familiar with, which is called a net promoter score. So our net promoter score, according to Nielsen and a few other companies that track net promoter scores, above a 70 is pretty much best in class. So if you have a customer net promoter score above 70, you're in best in class. Like Verizon or a subscription is probably going to be in the 40s or 50s. Our net promoter score is 90.08. Just to give you an idea, it's only changed about 4 points over the past 5 years. So if you get one less than 5-point star, it can reduce your net promoter score, and we measure it out to the thousands place. So the way we do it is we're super hyper attentive to our guys and to our customers. And we really pretty much don't take, you know, we don't argue with our customers. We don't call them liars. We take them for face value. But we do track everything that these guys do. And we know, you know, we know when people are trying to beat, you know, hack the system. And for the most part, we do whatever we can to support our customers and their needs. There are times where we tell customers that they are not, they don't belong to our tribe. I'd say that happens probably once a week. So we basically tell a customer to fuck off. And we give them, codes, coupon codes and stuff to our competitors.
Yeah.
We're like, dude, this isn't your company. You don't belong in this. Go buy from our competitor and here's a coupon code. And if you think your experience is better with them, then stay with them. If not, we'll be here. So we spend a lot of time on this subject.
No, I love that. I love the last part, especially like, and you don't really see that in a lot of retail, you know, it's like very passive, you know, you have to take the good with the bad, but you know, you guys saying, hey, this is where our alignment is and you don't align with us as a customer, because what's typically happening when y'all resort to that, sending the coupon codes of competitors?
Yeah, there's like, you know, four or five customer experience issues that we deal with every day. The simplest ones are, you know, I haven't received my product. I bought it like yesterday, the day before. I haven't received my product. Sometimes it drags on. It's like, you know, goes on 3 days, 4 days. And then we know that the box was delivered, but it was delivered to their next door neighbor. So we have to send them a picture and say, this is where it was. And they say, well, that's not my house. And then we'll have to reship it. So that's like, you know, and then there could be billing issues. Like, you guys charged me for something that I didn't expect to be, you know, so that all that goes. Then there's lots of customer issues with customers, like saying, having some issue, concern, or question about our product. Like, I can't get the product out of the package. Like, the pump isn't working. So we have like an eye cream and it doesn't work. So those issues happen all the time, right? Like for whatever reason, you know, something happens, or an elephant stepped on it and the product's all busted. So can you resend me the product? But then there's these guys that call up. And by the way, we're a men's skincare company. So I'm going to say guys a lot, but our customers are guys. So then there's people that call up and say, like, you know, I was supposed to get 25% off and I didn't get it. And I was supposed to get this free item and I didn't get it. And we're like, yeah, but dude, we've got all your orders right here. We're looking at the screen with all your orders and you've taken 25% off on every single order. And that coupon code was for our first time customer. And we allow you to take it like the second time. We allow you to take it the third time, but you're basically stealing from us. You know, it specifically says right there on the page you're checking out,
first time,
you know, first time customers. And so sometimes we'll cancel their second order. We'll send them a note and say, you know, you can't use this code. Would you like to pay, you know, $40 instead of $36? And if not, you know, not. And so they'll just call up like, and we have guys that just do repeat all the time. And they're just trying to, you know, they're just trying to take us for something. Like, game I didn't system. Get this. You forgot to ship me, you know, a bar soap. All right, we'll reship the bar soap. We've got, dude, you've told us four times that you needed to replace the bar soap. Like, we have pictures of it in the box, because we photograph everything, barcode and photograph everything coming out of our manufacturing plant. We pack our own boxes. We know it was in the box. So, you know, go fuck off. That's basically what we do.
It hits every time when you say it like that. And I think it woke up the listeners a little bit, like, oh, this guy ain't messing around.
No, okay. I mean, we treat everybody really fairly, but when people like get crazy with us, we tell them, we literally, like, the guys tell them all the time, sorry, man, we're not right for you. Go to this company.
I appreciate business owners and guests that have been through some shit. Cause typically when you've been through some shit, your tolerance level of bullshit is a lot lower, what you'll put up with, you know, and then you start to filter your environment, you start to filter your business, you know? And I appreciate that, because I only want to work with people and learn from people like that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of theory out there. There's a lot of what sounds nice, and a lot of people like to put that out because they don't have the experiences that you've had, going from, you know, having a house painting business to owning a men's skincare line. There's a lot of experience that happens in between those two things.
Yeah.
Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah. And by the way, I want to say one thing, because I don't want to leave like a wrong impression here, but we actually derive more good from our customer experiences than kind of the negative things I was just talking about.
Yeah, of course.
We actually, we get every single day, every day we get either written comment or verbal comments from our customers talking about what they like about our product and how our product helps them feel better about themselves, or their skin looks better, or their wife gave them a compliment today and they haven't had a compliment in, you know, 20 years from their wife. So, and we play every week on Fridays. We have a executive meeting, and every single executive meeting, we either listen to an audio quote or read a quote from a customer that just reinforces the belief that we have in our company and our products and our customers. And they're fantastic quotes. Like they're crazy, some of the things that people say about our company. So that's the positive thing. And that's the reason, you know, why you lean in hard to try and help do what's right for your customers.
No, I love that. And it does, it fuels you every time, you know, for
makes
me,
you feel great.
Yeah. I'm a consultant and I feed off of that stuff. Anytime, you know, I had a call yesterday with one of my clients, and 6 weeks ago, I told him to fire the salesperson. And 6 weeks later, he's finally firing him. But he went through 6 weeks of basically learning that he had to fire him in the first place based on some controllable actions and everything. And he was just like, look, I had to learn the hard way. That's kind of how it happens sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but it's those little moments where it's like, okay, we're doing the right things. We're preaching the right things. We're pushing the right things to our clients and making sure that they get taken care of. And so, I would love to know, you know, cause you said you went through some sales positions and stuff like that, and you ended up getting inspired to start a men's skincare company.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through?
I'm on my third business. So I went to school in Connecticut. I painted houses. It was a good way to make money. You know, in New England, all the houses are clapboard. Anybody that's seen pictures or movies or been to New England knows that a lot of clapboard houses there. It's the original kind of Shaker style house building. Mm-hmm. I built paint houses, and it was great because it allowed me to make money and then employ other people, and then pay for my college career. And then I went, after I graduated college, I went right into sales. And I was in 18 years, I was in sales. So I really, really, really like salespeople. I really appreciate all that I learned being in sales. And I really, really appreciate the foundation of knowledge that I got out of sales. Really good salespeople are a very unique blend of being, they should be, I think, very specialist and very technical. They should know, have a high degree of technical capability of understanding the products that they sell, but they should be really good advocates for both their customer and for their customer within the organization and externally to their customer. And it's that relationship that's just really amazing. So I have an incredible amount of respect for salespeople. I was one for 18 years, but it allowed me to develop a foundation of knowledge to start my second business, which was an advertising agency. So I started an advertising agency and took a lot of my customers with me from my corporate days, and then built that to a global company with offices in London and Taiwan and here in the US. And took that to a multi-million dollar company. But my customers were really interested in helping sell. So that agency was about selling, help. It was basically a shopper marketing company. So if you anything about shopper marketing, it's a very simple concept. It's just about how you communicate with, how do brands communicate with shoppers at the point of purchase. So, you know, if you're Unilever and you're selling Axe or Dove shampoo, how do you communicate with that customer in a target? So I spent 10 years really trying to help companies understand this. And I was very drawn to the fact that guys just hate to shop, which is pretty obvious. Like, we're not watching the Super Bowl saying, man, that was Mahomes, just that pass was unbelievable. Let's like, after the game, what are you doing, Doug? You want to run down to Nordstrom's and see what's like new in fashion and skincare? I mean, yeah, that shit's just not, those conversations aren't happening. So I felt like there was a great opportunity to help men think about skincare and sell it online. That's where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. And you know, it's something that, okay, I, you know, in my 20s, I used the body wash to wash my face. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In my, in my 30s now, I use the same face wash as my wife does. Right.
Yeah.
It's a very, it's the grocery store face wash.
Yeah.
So what would you say to a lot of men like me? And this is a selfish question. This has nothing to do with building great sales teams.
Yeah,
although
sure,
a better looking sales leader is always going to do better.
That's right. Absolutely.
And a better looking salesperson is always going to convert more at the end of the day. We can't argue with that. So no. Tell me why men, you know, I'm 37 now.
Yep.
Men should be looking at going from that maybe grocery store face wash to a product like yours.
Yeah. I mean, let me just break it down in very simple terms. You know, I'm a tequila drinker. There's probably a lot of whiskey drinkers out there or bourbon drinkers or whatever. The difference between, you know, Jose Cuervo or Tito's and some well-branded spirit is, you know, is like night and day, right? I mean, we know the difference between drinking, you know, a Mr. Boston vodka and a Tito's. And we know how we feel and we know the difference in taste. And et cetera, et cetera. The experience is completely different. So it's the same thing for high quality face washes and, you know, skincare products. We also sell body washes and bar soaps and deodorant and ball powder, things of that nature. We make really, really, really good products. So our products are not, you know, they're not the store bought products, which are, you know, anywhere between 83 and 89% water and, you know, 17%, you know, to 12% active ingredients, our products actually make a significant difference to how your skin looks and feels. So, and you know, this isn't right. This is a fact. I mean, you buy a better brand, you might buy it at first because you want to, that's what everybody's, you know, everybody's drinking Tito's. So you're going to drink it.
Yeah.
When you start out. And then when you try something different, you're like, well, this sucks. You know, I, you know, so people know the difference between a quality product and not a quality product. They see it in the results. So we make really, really, really high quality products. Our products are super expensive for us to make. Why are they expensive? Because the ingredients that we put in them, like, you know, we put in ingredients that are really expensive for us to buy and we don't cut corners. You know, we don't like, we don't reduce the cost of our products on our manufacturing side so that we can squeeze out an extra penny or two. Because the problem is that we know the guys won't come back. So we make great products. Guys buy our products. They're like, fuck, this really is good stuff. This face wash really cleans my face well. It doesn't leave my face feeling too overly dried. I like the feel of it. I really feel clean. I feel refreshed. And so I'm... you know, and then I put a moisturizer on that's not shiny. It leaves my face kind of matte. It dries really quickly. And the whole experience takes me about a minute, 30 to 2 minutes. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's guy proof. And then, like I said, people get compliments. That's it. I mean, it's just that simple. Why should we do it? We should do it because we have a responsibility to our wives and to our children and, you know, to our significant others to take care of ourselves. It doesn't mean, you know, we should be sitting around watching football all the time. We need to be working out. You know, we need to be exercising, whether it's riding a bike or running or going to the gym or lifting weights. We need to be in a good mental state. You know, if you're a sales guy, you got to be on. You got to be on your game, right? So you got to get the right amount of sleep. You got to exercise. You got to eat right. You can't eat a hamburger every day, you know, cheeseburger every day for lunch. That's not going to work. And so for us, brush your teeth, wash your face, put a good quality moisturizer on at night. You do it again. You feel fucking good about yourself. You're ready to go out and kick some ass.
I love it. And I want to point out that while you were talking about that, I was able to go on your site, take the quiz, like took me 20 seconds and it recommended me skincare system. And right. Here's the part I don't get.
Yeah.
Like, I know how expensive skincare is. And I was able to order this for $26. I mean, yep. Obviously, I'm using the first time code. I won't use it again, I promise.
That's right. Shouldn't have told everybody that. Everybody's going to be out there using the code again.
I know, right?
Damn it. All these people listening to Doug are using our code.
Yeah, everybody's yeah. Done. They're all Building Great Sales Teams podcast. They're getting the code over and over again. But going back to the customer experience question I heard earlier is you made it easy. And one of the things that you said is you made it man-proof. Yep. And so now I'm in the system. I'm going to get that monthly. I don't. When I go to the grocery store, I don't think about skincare. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about steaks and like what I'm going to eat for dinner and, you know, stuff for my kids. You know, the last thing I'm thinking about is skincare. So the fact that it's going to come in the mail makes it so much easier. But
I mean, it's so easy.
Mm-hmm. And then if you have that retail product, having a quiz like that, that makes me feel like, and I guarantee, you know, and I know how this works. Like, that's probably recommended maybe like 70 or 80% of the time, the system that I got, or no?
No, I mean, it's, so we specific? Have like three basic systems. So about 50% of our guys are in the one that you picked because they probably answered questions saying that, you know, I'm not like very sophisticated, you know, I don't need a whole lot. So I'm just, you know, I'm just going to start with the basic. This is a great box. You wash your face in the morning, wash your face at night, put a moisturizer on during the day, regardless if you live in Texas or you live in Toronto, put a moisturizer on that has an SPF, you know, and at night, you just, as long as you didn't drink too much Tito's, you wash your face again and you put on your nighttime moisturizer and go to bed. There's a fourth product in there, which is an exfoliant. You know, you keep it in your shower on Sundays and Wednesdays, they're scrub days and you exfoliate.
Okay.
It's your shit. It's not your wife's. So, you know, and like you said, we ship it to you like every 30, 45 days, but you can do whatever you want. Like if you say, I just like the face wash and the scrub and the nighttime moisturizer, and then just do that. You want to add a bar soap, you do that. You add a deodorant, you take out a deodorant, you do whatever you want. So our guys are just, you know, 45% of our guys are just customizing. They're just putting stuff in their box and that they want, you know, maybe they're using Bulldog and they like Bulldog's, I don't know what, you know, face scrub. Yeah. So they continue buying that. So that's the way it works. We're just guy proof, man, making it easy.
I love it. So one of the things you were talking about earlier was that morning routine, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's like, it's like you said, it's an evolution, right?
Right.
Somebody that, you know, I found growth and development probably way too late in life, about 3 years ago, but I found it nonetheless. And I'm lucky. I've got some genetics that help me out. You know what I mean? Not in the hair category, but in the skin category. And, you know, I'm not getting acne at 30 years old.
Yeah.
Like some guys do. And so, but I've underappreciated my genetics. So I haven't done anything preventative for, and now I'm seeing it, you know, I'm seeing lines, I'm seeing like, you know, and then, you know, obviously I'm moving slower in the gym and, these are just little, you know, I've got to start eating better. These are just little things that as a leader in business, in sales, doesn't really matter. As a leader of your family, if you want to be around longer for them and you want to inspire them, I mean, everybody wants to be the hot dad. I mean, let's not get it twisted here.
Dude, everybody wants to feel good. You just need to feel good about yourself.
You
want to get up in the morning. Yeah, you just want to feel good about yourself. I was on an airplane 2 months ago. I was coming back from visiting a customer actually in Atlanta. And there's this dude that came on and, you know, he's maybe like early 40s. I'm 57. Yeah. And he had one of those really, really badass baseball caps. It's super expensive. They're like $90 baseball caps. And I keep on looking at them. I'm like, you know, I really want one of those, but I can't part with $90. So I said to the guy, I'm like, he came in, he actually sat right next to me. This guy was jacked too. Right. I mean, he was not a small guy. And, he said, I said, man, I really like that hat. Like, what do you think? He's like, yeah, I got three of them. I don't think he was flexing. I think he was just being honest. He was like, I got a couple of them. And it's like the best thing I've ever had and blah, blah, blah. And I said, it's great. And he took off his hat and I go, man, cause I got nothing up top. And I said, what are you putting on your head? Cause you got to make sure you cover that up so you don't get, you know, any cancer there. And he looks at me and he goes, Man, I've been the last few years, I've been lubing my head up every day with like SPF moisturizer because, you know, I wish I had thought about this a long time ago. My skin is all cracked up on top and scaly looking and I look like shit. I wish I had, he goes, I'm taking care of myself now, but I should have done something 14 years ago. Yeah. That was his exact comment. So he didn't, I never even told him that I was in the skincare business. We chatted a bit, but I never even said anything to him. And that's it right there. I mean, the guy's aware of it now because he's got self-awareness in his late 30s, early 40s. I wish I had started it earlier is what he said.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. It's just one of those things you don't start thinking about it until you get done with your rat race in your 20s or whatever the case is. I mean, most guys go through the same things. We start thinking about maybe mortality more in our 40s, but in our 30s, it's like trying to stay young. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what it is? Actually, the reason why guys start thinking about, you know, taking care of themselves is like these things that happen in their life. Like, I got to get the job. I got to get the girl. I got to move to California. I got to move out of California. I'm standing up in my best man's wedding. I just had a baby. Like all these crazy things. Life events. Guys start thinking about, they got to make some changes.
That makes sense. I noticed one of your company causes is actually fighting skin cancer. Yep. Wouldn't inspire that.
Yeah.
It makes sense marketing wise. Okay. Obviously.
Yeah. But you know,
like there's more to the story.
Yeah. It's not really, I mean, guys won't buy our product just because we're affiliated with Skin Cancer Foundation. We do it because my business partner, Rob, I went to high school with him in Connecticut. Okay. And his father died when we were in high school of melanoma, you know, the guy was in his 50s. And it was like, you know what they say is like, if you want to have a lot of people come to your funeral, you know, die young. And I mean, there was it was just like the whole town showed up for this guy's funeral. It was very impactful. And that's Rob actually there on the right. And and so early on when sales started taking off, he's like, dude, we got to give, you know, we really need to have our products be SPF and we need to give, you know, to Skin Cancer Foundation. And I just heard him say it. I didn't like particularly comment on it. And I started sending $100 a month to the Skin Cancer Foundation in New York. And so we've just contributed to it. You know, since the beginning of time, I didn't tell him for 5 or 6 months. I'm like, the company gives $100 a month to, and we're giving like about $800 a month right now to Skin Cancer in New York. And, you know, we're just trying to help guys understand that skin cancer is super preventable. So just put like our SPF is SPF 20. It's light. It's not meant to be hanging out at the beach or, you know, going hunting or fishing. It's not that type. Right. But if you're doing your daily stuff and you've got it on your skin, your face, you absolutely will be doing a lot to prevent skin cancer.
Yeah. No, and you don't think about it. Like right now, I'm coaching my son's baseball team. And I think about yesterday, I was in direct sunlight the whole time. Exactly. My face was getting its ass kicked by the sun. It's not something that you say, hey, I'm going to go coach practice and I'm going to put on some sunscreen, you know, but if you're just doing it on a daily basis as part of your routine, makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, for someone like you that lives in a, you know, a sunny place. Yeah, I know it's crazy, but, like wash your face, you know, at 4 in the afternoon and 3 in the afternoon and then put on a little, a pea size amount of our moisturizer. I mean, literally a pea size amount. And, that'll be enough to get you through an hour or two with your baseball hat on, of being out in the sun, you know, and make sure like we're gorilla smile style too. So make sure you're putting it on your face and you're putting it like, you know, a little bit on your ears and you're good.
Yeah. So, I've got enough missing up top that I got to put some up there too.
Yeah. I mean, just run it right here, you know, like that. That's it. That's
I aged 10 years when I take off my hat.
Yeah. What I look like? I already told you I was 57, so I guess fucked.
No, you look great for 57, but I would expect nothing less than the owner of a skincare company. So.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's okay. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you guys, what's new for you guys right now? What are you excited about? What's next?
Yeah, I mean, we work off of sprints. We work off at 90-day sprints at the company, you know, annual planning, 90-day sprints. But we just got off of a 3-year planning, and we worked the last 6 months of last year on the next 3 years. So we're just kicking off 3-year growth plan, and and it's really awesome. Like the team is like fired up working on this shit. I mean, they're just like going crazy with our 3-year plan. I mean, when you said it in your intro, you know, great teams create great companies. You know, when you give, you know, a specific goals, and, you know, we have, as a mission, as a company, is we're about, you know, helping men look and feel amazing. But if you give teams specific goals and you say, this is what we're going to do the next 3 years, go kick some ass. Here are the, you know, monthly, quarterly, annual, you know, objectives and measurement. And it's amazing what an organization can do. I mean, they just get after it and start crushing it every day. So I'm very excited about all that stuff.
I love it. Is that a system that you guys built organically? Or are you operating off of EOS?
We do use EOS. We've been on EOS for a long time, like at least 7 years. What I'm talking about is, you know, is built, the 3-year plan's built slight, you know, outside of an EOS process, but it's incorporated, it's inculcated into our EOS, into our quarterly, annual, and annually quarter goals and quarterly goals. EOS has been awesome for us. It's been great. Matter of fact, you know, I give Gino Wickman's book Traction to all new employees at the organization.
If I can suggest, especially when they first come in, because Traction is heavy. It's a heavy book, you know. Yep. What the Heck is EOS? Is a new book that he came, I want to say like 2 years ago or something like that. And so we start, so my clients go through an evolution, right? I built a sales program for them. And then sometimes if it suits them, I turn into a fractional integrator for them. And so I come into the company, I build out their meeting structure and their quarterly targets. And we do the quarterly planning and everything. And, you know, one of the first books that we recommend their salespeople read coming in that are sales centric is What the Heck is EOS? Cause it's not like everything. It's just the overview, understanding the terminology. I love the title of the book. It makes so much sense, you know, because when you first hear about it, you're like, what the heck?
I'll get What the Heck is EOS for our more junior hires.
And then when they get promoted to market manager, we have them read Rocket Fuel, you know. So Rocket Fuel is more story based. And then when they get to regional director, then Traction comes into play because now they're running their own L10s for their region. And so we kind of like ease them into it in that sense. You know what I'm saying?
Love it.
But yeah, that's what I found. I found a lot of businesses in general are lacking that organizational structure that EOS provides. You know, even my sales org, we were 8 years in before we found EOS, and then we ran on it over the next 5 years. And then once I exited that business, I brought it over into my consulting as well. And if they don't have that in place, I typically recommend there's a software called 90.io or 90.io that kind of just like displays their EOS, you know. It takes them through a questionnaire and kind of displays their EOS for them to run your meetings on. It's kind of like an agenda builder / quarterly. It houses EOS basically. Most people run it off of spreadsheets and stuff. And so we run through that.
If you don't have any operating system in your business, you know, it's not a good way to run a business.
Well, because it's all up here, right? I mean, it's all basically housed in this human brain that has so many flaws, you know, we can't count them. So it's definitely tough. And everybody's not on the same page. I think that's a big part of it. So when you guys implemented it, did you notice like y'all moving a little bit faster, or what were some of the key things that you were like, or was it just your sanity was intact after implementing it?
You know, it's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. I never really went back and thought very deeply about the impact of it. I mean, I certainly organized everything and created processes and drove us to implement and write down processes. So we have, you know, processes for everything, like, you know, we have a controller that's been with us for a couple of years, financial controller. It's been with us for a few years, a CFO that's been with us for a few years. And the previous controller, and then there's a finance team, had like a whole handbook for everything that we did. So part of EOS was like, make sure that every department has a process documented. And and the previous controller left on January 1st, kind of like unexpectedly. And the CFO had to basically close the books for 2 or 3 months until we hired a new controller. And the CFO had like hadn't been in the books for years. And without, like, every single day he had this like 3-ring binder on his desk and was constantly, you know, flipping through everything, like the account numbers and transfer this to that and reconcile this and all the general ledger set up like this. And, you know, cash is set up like this. And this is when we have these meetings. And so not having, and we have that, those type of processes written in pretty much all, like, every department. We, you know, so those type of things are like, for sure, you know, we still do rocks. We do still do quarterly meetings. So I think it definitely improved our business. I think having very documented core values was the other thing that really was a significant improvement in our business.
No, that's, I know it's cliche right now. I don't know if you're in any coaching or consulting or mastermind space, but it's very over-marketed in those spaces.
And core values.
And I agree with the marketing of it. It is one of the most important things for small business owners. They need to establish them early on so they can build a business behind those. But I don't think enough people that are on stage or coaches or are, you know, influencers talk about the downside of implementing core values, which it's not a downside. It's just the pain that you're going to go through if you truly execute on them, because you're going to lose some people or you're going to lose some clients or products, whatever the case is in that process, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a really, it's critical because we live our core values. I mean, I like quiz people. I talk every single day about our core values. I'll be like, that way to act like an owner there, Doug. I mean, that was an amazing thing you did when you did this and that. You really showed, you know, your peers how you were really acting like an owner. And I appreciate you saving that $15,000. You know what we can do with that $15,000 that you saved? You know, we can apply it towards bonuses this year, and we can get another person in the marketing department to take us further. Or you made a great decision, Doug, when you did that, because you were really living our connected to data core value. And you made a decision. It was a hard decision, but you did it because the data points to the fact that that is what we should be doing. Even though it's counterintuitive to what you and I both think, the data proves otherwise. So if we really trust our data, we made the right decision. So on and on and on, we talk about our core values every day here. It's ingrained, but it also helps us figure out who we should and shouldn't be hiring, right? Because if we can't get people through the hiring process and ferret out whether or not, you know, they're going to be on track with like the way we think at our organization, you know, we just don't need them here. Kind of like the same way where we don't need customers that are going to be abusive.
Yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense. And the tough part is so many people put them on the wall but never implement them like you are, you know? And so that's what, you know, just again, having the context of the space that I'm in a lot, and I'm on stages and stuff and around the coaches and consultants. And, you know, again, I just, exactly what you said, where it's like, it's got to be a true filter, you know, to where you're not bringing people in that don't align. But it is, it's tough. You gotta, can't really hire on it, but you got to fire on it for sure.
There's a great book. I think it's Think Like a Rocket Scientist from Pavian. I think it's that book, but it talks about, I can't remember all the books that I read, but it talks about the guy that's founded Shake Shack. He's a famous restaurateur, and it talks about the whole principle of the way that Navy SEALs train and learn and execute. And there's many other things. It talks about the Spurs. It talks about coaching, NBA coaching, and I'm not sure if that's a great book, Veral. That's an awesome book. I'm not sure if that's the book I'm thinking about or not, but yeah. It talks about these companies like this restaurateur from Shake Shack. And he has all these major multi-million dollar restaurants like Gramercy Park, and he had Windows of the World and all these. And they will constantly talk using like this language that they're repeating over and over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's just constant. Like the Navy SEALs, they're like constantly talking about, they're saying the same thing over and over and over again. And it just like gets inculcated into their culture. And so it's not just having them, but it's constantly talking about them, constantly. So everybody on our executive team is constantly talking about it. Like they should be talking about it daily.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay, last question for you. We'll wrap this up. What does legacy mean to you, and what legacy do you want to leave behind?
Okay, well, glad you asked that one. You know, I think like I'm thinking about my life in like the first 20 of my career, the second 20 of my career, actually like the first 30 in my life, the next 30 in my life, and like the next 30, but kind of like 20 to 40, 40 to 60, and 60 to 80. So for 60 to 80, I want to do something completely different than what I'm doing. I totally pivoted my thought. I have all these business ideas. I have some patents. I have another business. And I thought I would go on to something else. I want to focus on something that's going to do maximum good for the net from 60 to 80. Hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do that. My legacy, to answer your question, is I want to be known, or our brand Teach Hanley be known as, those are the guys that first talked about why it's important for a guy to take care of himself with the skin, you know, that big umbrella that I was talking about earlier is the total umbrella, but specifically the guy was having healthy skin and was taking care of himself, how he looked and feel, and creating healthy routines. So my legacy is, we want to be known as, you know, when the revolution came up around men thinking about taking care of themselves and taking care of their skin, we want to be known, Teach Hanley, as being in the forefront of developing healthy skincare routines for guys. That's my legacy through age 60. Beyond that, hopefully it'll be creating maximum good for people.
I love it, brother. I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast and dropping all this knowledge for us, as well as very practical knowledge of taking care of our skin for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of, you know, that daily routine that needs to be talked about more for young men for sure. So they grow into that, but definitely at my age where it's like, oh, hey, what is that right there? You know?
Yeah.
It's just there for sure.
Start taking care of yourself. for all do all those things, and hopefully start using a high quality moisturizer and face wash. Try Tiege Hanley. Try Tiege.com/buildinggreatsalesteams for a great discount, better than the one you got. But the one you got was pretty good, but your audience is going to get a better one if they go to
Tiege.com/buildinggreatsalesteams
and, you know, send us a note and tell us what you think. And believe me, like I said, we take feedback very seriously. So
obviously I love it, brother. If any of our listeners have learned something from this show, an easy way to pay it forward would be to try out Tiege Hanley for sure. And check that out in the show notes. We'll definitely include that in there or in the comments on YouTube. So you guys can take advantage of that discount code that Kelly just dropped for us. So appreciate you again for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Doug. Thanks for everything you're doing for your listeners.
All right, let's get building.